Hey there, welcome to the Five by the Fire podcast. I'm your host, Armand Sheffy, aka Pastor Fury, and I'm also the executive director of the Unshackled Network, a family of missionaries and a network of microchurches innovating ways to help people on the margins of Lake County and beyond experience freedom in Jesus. And in this podcast, we take a look at a passage in the McShane Bible Reading Plan, and we dive in for a handful of minutes. So grab a cup of coffee, cozy up like we're by the fire, and let's chat. This is Five by the Fire. And today we read Numbers 28, Psalm 72, Isaiah 19 and 20, and 2 Peter chapter 1. Now, one of the clearest ways that you can see the heart and character of parents lived out is in their prayer life. The prayers that are made on behalf of our children is a great indicator of what we believe is true and what we desire for our children today and in the days to come. In today's reading, we have a beautiful metaphoric and paralleling language used in Psalm 72. We see directly a depiction of one very well-known father and son duo, King David and his son, future King Solomon at this point. And more metaphorically, but more comprehensively as well, a depiction of our Heavenly Father and His Son, the Messiah, Jesus. A tale and a prayer of four kings. Now there's lofty talk in this prayer being spoken of and for Solomon initially that points to the Father's desire that not only his legacy will live on through his son, but in many ways that his son will more clearly embody the attributes that would be praiseworthy and glorifying. He says in the first verse, "Give the king your justice, O God, and your righteousness to the royal son. May he judge your people with righteousness and your poor with justice." He's essentially asking that Solomon would have the judgment that is necessary to rule well, like to be able to provide justice for the people. And specifically, he talks about providing justice for the poor. Since there's a talk here, you actually can see this in all in verse 1, of this parallel of justice and righteousness. It starts off justice, then righteousness, and then it goes righteousness and then justice. And the parallelism of it should not get lost on us who live on this side of the cross, because the judgment of God, like his justice, is what we see initially that came swiftly under the old covenant. Then the righteousness of God comes in the form of Jesus. And then it's imparted on those who exchange their sin nature for his righteousness. And then ultimately we see the pending judgment or justice of God that will come in the final days when Jesus, the righteous judge, the one who will bring justice to bear and will fulfill all that is being prayed for in this psalm, makes all things new. So, as the idyllic picture of a king's reign and rule is painted here, we should not be disregarding of the repetitive emphasis on justice for the poor, defending of the needy, and opposition and a strong hand against the oppressors. In verse 4, he says, "May he defend the cause of the poor of the people, give deliverance to the children of the needy, and crush the oppressor." This is being spoken of as a prophetic statement, not only for his son and what he would want his son's reign to be, but prophetic of what Jesus' reign is going to ultimately be. That Jesus is the defender of the poor, who delivers the needy and crushes the oppressors. As we live lives in the shadow of the cross and in light of this understanding of the bar that the Messiah sets and the type of character of those who lead, the wise and Christ-pursuing disciples of Jesus today should yet again pause and reflect on the way that we live righteousness out. As we look, like, there's a great mention of all the praise and honor that is due to God, and this should sound perfectly in line with one pursuing righteousness, which translates ultimately to right standing or right relationship, right? So we should also, however, see the flip side of righteousness that not only talks about righteousness with God, like the vertical relationship, but also horizontally, righteousness with one another. While it is intuitive that we should live rightly with those who can help us or those that we relate to and connect with, God's emphasis yet again on those on the margins of life demonstrates our need for that continual reminder. As without intentionality, we don't look in that direction often. We don't seek it out and look for ways to offer blessing and assistance to those on the margins, because we don't have to, right? So let us again today see the picture of what Jesus can and promises to do, hear the prayers for the best for one's children and the legacy, and be encouraged to take God's power and live that prayer out. Live that out in the way that we not only want to pass it down, but in the way that we should ultimately live, knowing that Jesus is the way that that life is ultimately lived out in and through him. Let's pray for his help. Father God, we thank you that you promise to be with us. And as you give us examples of what it looks like to reign and rule under the reign of Jesus, Lord God, we ask that you would also give us your Spirit's power, strengthen us to not only live righteously with you, but live out righteousness with others, specifically those on the margins of life. We thank you that your word points us to it and your power walks us through it. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, you guys, that's another episode of the 5 by the Fire podcast. Hit me up, 5bythefire.org with comments, Armand at unshackledonetwork.org with prayer requests. Subscribe, rate, and share. And I'll see you back here tomorrow on 5 by the Fire. Be blessed and be a blessing.